Wednesday, Chapter 1. Tonight, death and time showed me their true faces. We spend our lives plodding blindly through the slaughterhouse gate between past and future. Every second is annihilation. The death of this moment, the birth of this moment. There is no next moment. There is only now. While the pace of life seems stately in the living, we funnel through that gate like driven cattle, fearful, obedient, insensate. Even while we sleep, now becomes then as relentlessly as a river wearing away a rock. Cells burn oxygen, repair proteins, die, and replace themselves in a seemingly endless train. Yet from the womb, those internal clocks are winding down to a final disorder. Only in the shadow of death do we sense the true velocity of time. While adrenaline blasts through our systems, eternity becomes tangible and all else blurs into background. It is then, paradoxically, that seconds seem to stretch. Experience becomes hyper-real, and flesh and spirit unite in the battle to remain breathing, conscious, aware, afloat in the rushing stream of time. If we survive the threat, our existential epiphany quickly fades, for we cannot bear it long. Yet somewhere within us, a dividing line remains. Before and after. Tonight, time slowed down so much I could taste it like copper on my tongue. I felt it against my skin, dense and heavy, resisting every move. Mortality hovered at my shoulder, a watchful beast of prey. Chained to a cinder block wall, I watched a man older than my father torture the woman I love with fire. I realized then that hell existed. The terrible irony was that I had created it. In arrogance against the counsel of others, I'd wagered all I had and more, the lives of others, to try to save my father. In desperation, I cast away every principle he ever taught me and reached into the darkness in the hope of a bargain. What did I get in exchange for my soul? A pillar of fire roaring in the night. The pyre of three men, probably more, visible from miles across the flat Louisiana Delta. Probably even from Mississippi. Not far to the east, my town sleeps along the high ground above the river, but here, all sense, all logic is suspended while the fire devours the dead. Two of those men gave their lives for Caitlin and me. Henry Sexton, reporter. Sleepy Johnston, musician and prodigal son of Louisiana. One a white man, one black. Allies by chance or maybe fate. Either way, they're gone forever. Through the slaughterhouse gate. I've never witnessed such brutality as that which preceded their deaths, nor such heroism as was displayed in their sacrifices. Yet all I can taste is ashes. 3 months ago, I felt a lot like this, as a flood of biblical scale swept over New Orleans, the only real city between the Gulf and Memphis. 3 hours south of here, hazmat-suited crews are still dragging bodies from mildewed houses. That disaster, like this one, had human causes. Greed, apathy, hubris, even loyalty, all demand payment in the end. Storms will always come, and men will always do evil in the shadow of some other word. It's how we respond that defines us. A few minutes ago, gripped by a mad delusion of invincibility, I carried Sleepy Johnston out of the basement inferno where this fire was born, and not once while I staggered through the smoke and flames did I doubt I would reach the surface. I hauled a man nearly my own weight as easily as I would have carried my 11-year-old daughter, but to no avail. 2 minutes after I laid him on the ground, Johnston died of his injuries. Now he lies a few yards behind us, staring sightlessly at the smoke-obscured stars. I did not pray while Caitlin knelt to ease his passing. Anything I said would have been superfluous, for if any God exists, he must surely fold such martyrs into his embrace. I watched in silence while Caitlin reenacted the oldest ritual in the world, cradling the older man's head and murmuring maternal reassurance into his ear. Touching my newly scarred face with my right hand, I drove the nails of my left-hand fingers into my palm. Pain is proof of life. After Johnston expired, I comforted Caitlin as though I had some purchase on reality. But that was only another delusion, though I didn't know it then.